Welcome back to North Sound Racing with Steve Mortland and Tom Glitherow on North Sound 1380 KRKO Radio.
Got a yellow flag, and I believe the yellow flag was brought out by the crew member, Jim Noble, that went out to retrieve that tire because he was in harm's way. He was out on the, what is the Legends car track here at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and in listening to NASCAR control, they're yelling at him to get back, and then had to throw the yellow flag to slow everybody down.
I absolutely agree with what NASCAR did. I mean, something very terrible could have happened right there, and that crewman lost his mind going after that part of the racetrack. Let's go to Jim Noble.
Yeah, and he's hearing about it from the NASCAR official right now, guys. Might have been a situation where they tried to tell him on the radio and he just couldn't hear, but that crewman was a good 50 yards out in the middle of the tri-oval, and that could have been a horrible situation had somebody come off four.
That was absolute craziness.
Yeah, maybe he couldn't hear. Maybe it's because the motors were too close and too loud, huh?
That was nuts. We got a guy that can really help us get dialed in on that. As we welcome you back to North Sound Racing, I'm Steve Mortland, and he's Tom Glitherow. And a member of the North Sound Racing Hall of Fame joins us at this time. Paul Bartholomew's on the line. How are you, bud?
I'm really good. How are you?
Good. You're kind of on a mini vacation as all of the big boys are off this week before they head into Bristol next a week from Saturday, but you're kind of lounging over on the coast, huh?
Yeah, the Oregon coast, it's beautiful
there
today,
you go.
Morty. It's really nice.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to you in years.
Well, I know. See, I'm just following along. You're one of my heroes, man. So I figured if I can do this and Steve, you know, Steve can make me famous or something, maybe I can come work with you someday.
Yeah, Steve's the one that made me famous, so just ride on his coattails.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. He just doesn't wear a coat most of the time for me to pull along, but I'm going to try, you know. Hey, man, you know, truly, you're one of the great guys in this business that I've had the opportunity to meet, and it's cool, and it must be a real thrill for you to do what you're doing.
Tom, I still can't believe that they let me do it each and every week, and I thank God each and every day when I go to the racetrack. I've always got a smile on my face, and I can't think of anything else that I'd rather do.
Well, it's something you've done for a long time, going back to your days at Portland Speedway. I got to believe, did you ever believe that, you know, what you were doing at Portland Speedway with you, and I think Scott, you worked with Scott Ellsworth for a while, that you'd end up doing what you're doing now?
Well, that was my plan. To tell you the truth, from day one, was I thought this is my shot at really getting national TV time or national radio time or any kind of national air time. And so really that was my plan from day one at Portland Speedway, was just not burn any bridges, learn everything I could from everybody, and take it all with me. And I think that's just what it is, Tom. I didn't burn any bridges, and I've just had the doors open at the right time, and I've been incredibly lucky.
Well, you know, you can always tell, Tom, whenever you bring up Paul's name, a smile immediately comes to the person who knows him, and it works every time. It's really cool. And so congratulations. That's all I ever do, Paul, is just congratulate you.
Thank you very much.
Well, here's a couple. Go ahead.
I get to do the Montana 200 in July.
I know. We were going to bring that up. Doug Pace has got that lined up for you. It would be good to have you back in the Pacific Northwest. But, yeah, tell us about that whole deal, and then I got another one for you.
Well, Justin called me from up there at Montana Raceway Park and asked me my interest, and of course I was interested. My favorite racing is all of these guys from the Northwest. I haven't got to see anybody in 5 years, it seems like, except, maybe once a year I get to take in an event, but I'm really looking forward to going back up to Kalispell and doing the Montana 200. I hear great things about that racetrack.
Well, all Doug Pace does is just talk about it's like, you know, when the big boys come to town, no matter where, coming up at Bristol, Tennessee, but they really put on the show. They bring all the drivers out and stretch limousines. They drop some of them in from helicopters.
They don't drop them out of the helicopters. They bring them
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they don't just kick you out and go pick up a couple more. But, it's pretty much a Thursday through Sunday event.
I can't wait. I'm really excited about it.
Hey, well, listen, at Bristol, I think Mr. Gary Lewis is going to be down there, so keep your eyes open. And he's kind of got a lock on that race the last couple of years, and fortunately they don't drop him out of the helicopter, otherwise he'd be bruised. But I know he's looking forward to going back again and see if he can win. I think this will be three in a row if he can and do that. So,
yeah, apparently the Montana 200 is the Gary Lewis 200.
Yeah, he likes those big checks, you know. He was telling me today he has to keep winning those big races, otherwise Dad doesn't buy practice tires for him. So. Hey, listen, tell us a little bit about what's your weekend like? When do you get to the racetrack? What do you do? How much preparation does it take? I'm sure you just don't sit down and turn the microphone on and start, you know, yakking about the races. But tell us a little bit about what your weekend's like.
Well, let's start, I guess, when I get home from the race that I've just been to, I immediately start preparing for the next race. Racing Reference is a great website that I can get a lot of information from. Of course, all of the teams send me whatever releases that they have during the week, so I compile notes. And when I'm at the racetrack, whatever series are running there, I'm not just doing the NASCAR Sprint Cup series. Whatever series is running in conjunction with them, I'm doing their stories, whether it be ARCA or Open Wheel. You know, we run some USAC races. The list goes on and on. The Whelen Modified Series, the Camping World East Series, the West Series. I have to prepare for all of those things. So I'm a very busy person. I usually fly out on Thursday, and I'll get into town. And I always fly out of Oregon. I'll get into town if it's on the East Coast. I'm there by 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And then we sit down and kind of prepare for the next day. And usually it's just qualifying and practices. But we'll go in the garage area with some cameras, and we'll talk to the drivers during the practice sessions. We cover all of the qualifying shows, and then I prepare for a pre-race. And with the Cup Series, it's about a five-hour pre-race, and I'm live every 5 minutes for about 5 hours doing hits on different drivers and different teams and that kind of stuff. And then for the other series, we pretty much we'll get through the pre-races and that kind of stuff, and then we'll let whoever's doing it, whether it be MRN radio or PRN radio, go ahead and make those calls during the race, and then I pick it up again in victory lane.
Let's also talk about your TV career, because you pulled it off again, my friend. Did a knockout job on the Bodine Bobsled Challenge out of Lake Placid, and that was a lot of fun to get up on Saturday morning and watch you up there having just a blast and with some really neat characters, too.
I had a great time. It was the second year I've gotten to host that broadcast and actually both shows. For the last 2 years, I'm amazed, Morty, that I get to do this. I really am. I really want to continue to do this and get better. And I'll tell you what, Jeff Bodine does nothing but hug me each and every weekend and tells me exactly how our U.S. athletes are doing. And he knows I get it, and he knows that I really enjoy what I'm doing. And hopefully, this will open other doors for me. I really never thought I'd be a race car announcer. You know, I always thought football, basketball, baseball, and that kind of stuff. And now I'm doing bobsledding. So we're hoping for the Olympics here on NBC in a couple of years. But I probably shouldn't have said anything.
But you did it. You did an awesome job. Okay, here's what I want you to do, Paul. I'm going to put you on the spot if you don't mind. You okay?
Yeah, I just had to have a beverage real quick.
All right, I want you to tell us a story.
Any story?
Any story.
Okay. Just start. I was up in Monroe, and I used to take up my fifth-wheel travel trailer up there, and I'd take up enough food for me and a couple of other people, and my travel trailer would always end up with 12 people in it, and all my beer is gone, all my food's gone. I went hungry for the rest of the weekend.
I remember that weekend quite well.
Is that any kind of a story?
Yeah, that works.
Do we know anybody that was of those 12 guests?
Yes. I think he knew every guest that was there.
Yeah, it used to be quite the deal to be invited back to Paul's trailer after tour races out there and anywhere over at Yakima. It don't matter where it was. As long as Paul was there, we knew that we were going to eat and eat well. It's always fun. So, we're three races into Sprint Cup Series this year. You've been to all three, Daytona, California, and just got done at Atlanta. Kind of give us your impressions of what you've been seeing out there so far.
Yeah, we've actually done four races, Morty, so I don't know. You forgot Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I haven't met a lot.
How about that?
Sorry, bud.
I was just thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm farther in the season than anybody else is.
Yeah.
Incredible. I'm kind of amazed that Jimmy Johnson's where he's at in the points. I'm a little bit surprised at how Jeff Gordon has taken, you know, I called him out on a Kansas City radio station a few weeks ago, actually right before Las Vegas, and somehow he heard that conversation, and it was that he'd lost his drive, and he confronted me in Las Vegas and said, you know what, you're absolutely right, Paul. I did kind of lose my drive a little bit, but he said, you got to remember, I'm part owner on a three-time championship team And I've won four championships myself. It's a little easy to get complacent.
Yeah, it's got to count for something.
Yeah, Jeff's, he said he's recommitted himself this year, and I think that his performance so far this year has showed that. And watch out. Maybe Jimmy Johnson won't run away with his fourth championship in a row. I'm not sure Penske Racing is all the way back, but congratulations to Kurt Busch. He definitely had the best car all weekend last weekend, and he might go back-to-back here in Bristol because he's so good there. I think he's got five wins down there in Bristol. Matt Kenseth came out of the gates hot. You know, ended up in the right place at the right time at Daytona. And then Roush Fenway kind of owns the California Speedway, or now the Auto Club Speedway of Southern California. So I'm not sure that I was surprised by that at all. But I don't know. David Ruderman running pretty well. The Toyota's looking pretty strong. Greg Biffle, we got to remember him.
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting, I think, eighth in the points, even after just a disastrous weekend.
He's currently shown in 10th.
In 10th, okay.
But we've got a 9-10 Washington group there. Casey Kane in 9th and Greg Biffle in 10th.
Wouldn't it be great if Casey made the chase again?
Oh, yeah.
And they got back on track, especially now that it's called Richard Petty Motorsports. How cool is that?
Oh, yeah. I was watching him on one of the, I think it was the Speed morning shows on Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and he looked like he was really kind of feeling comfortable because I think one of, I don't know if it was McReynolds or who it was, but brought up and said, you know, you're like the senior member of this team.
Yeah. It's amazing how this series has gotten younger and younger and younger, although we still see Bill Elliott at the racetrack each and every weekend. Ken Schrader's still running around there. He can't get himself a ride, you know, but Joe Nemechek has put himself, his own team together this year. So we still have some of the old guard, but it's amazing how everybody's gotten younger and younger each and every year. And you know what else is kind of odd here in 2009, and that's how all of the teams have either merged or changed or closed, and we don't see the 22 car, and you see the Caterpillar car now being Jeff Burton instead of Ward Burton or anybody else that's driving it, you know, Dave Blaney last year. So I think that's what's really taken me is the fact that nothing looks the same anymore except for, the 48 team.
I noticed Jimmy Johnson currently 13th in points. Some of the surprise, actually, you know, and you see Michael Waltrip up in 16th, so he's doing well. Junior finally is starting to make his climb up at position 24, right behind Bobby Labonte, who's had that guy's going to win a race this year, I think.
Wouldn't that be something?
It would.
If they were able to do that, and you know, they've gotten a little help now there with the 96 team, so hopefully Bobby Labonte can get back to victory lane. I have a feeling that we'll see him back in victory lane at some point this season in the NASCAR Nationwide Series. I think he's going to pick up a couple of rides with Kevin Harvick Incorporated. And of course, he won at Talladega just a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Paul, give me your take. This is a year of kind of change where, you know, when you look at, I mean, you mentioned some of the top teams, but when you look at Jeremy Mayfield, who reached down in his own pocket, his own team, Tommy Baldwin and what they've been able to do, the Gilliland deal, I think those are absolutely tremendous stories. You being a Saturday night short track type guy, I mean, I think those are, you know, I heard Slugger Labby say, who's crew chief, I think, on Gilligan's, Gilliland's car.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
Monday through Friday. But, I mean, one car, one set of shocks, and they've made three of the four events. I mean,
right.
What's your take on that? I mean, I think those are absolutely wonderful stories.
Yeah, first, let me say that with the Gilligan thing, you were probably listening to the PRN broadcast. I work for MRN Radio, so.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Did I just put that out loud? I know. They're all friends of mine. But how about this? He is just outside of the top 35 in owner's points, and they've missed a race. What a good deal that is. The Jeremy Mayfield thing, they put that deal together 21 days before Daytona. They actually started talking about that deal all the way back in Indy of last year. And then about 3 weeks before Daytona, Jeremy finally makes the phone call and asks Bobby Wooten, said, Bobby, or, you know, we want to do this or what? And they actually put it together, came down and made the Daytona 500. What an incredible story. Parked right next to them in the Daytona garage was Scott Riggs and the new Tommy Baldwin Racing team. And, of course, they made the Daytona 500. It's going to be a struggle for these guys all year long. They might be in the top 35 one week and out the next week, you know, because just because you make the race doesn't guarantee you an awful lot of points. And everywhere we go, these guys are just not getting any respect from anybody, and I think NASCAR officials included. And so they're going to struggle all year long, but I think it's a great thing. Tommy Baldwin is just so well-liked in the garage that I think everybody wants to see them succeed. Jeremy Mayfield is just one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet anywhere. And it's amazing how in just a couple of short years and you get just a little bit of gray all of a sudden in your in your sideburns, everybody thinks you can't drive anymore. And Jeremy can certainly wheel a race car still. So I just wish them the best of luck. And, of course, David Gilliland, you got to root for the West Coast guys.
Oh, yeah.
What a sad deal it was with Yates Racing and just not being able to find sponsors. And I think these guys work harder than about anybody in the garage, and they just can't get anybody to step up and say, you know what, we believe in you. But give them a little more time, and hopefully, as the season goes on, we aren't going to have 55 race cars showing up each and every week, you know? We'll get down to where it's 45 cars, and they've only got to beat a couple to get in the show each and every week. And pretty soon they'll be in the top 35, and they'll have a big smile on their face come on Friday.
Paul, our first guest was Taylor Malsom out of Mill Creek, driving for Randy Moss Motorsports, and he's a very, very serious contender for Rookie of the Year in the Truck Series. Who do you see that has kind of kept your eye on a little bit more than normal about who's coming up and who's going to be making some noise?
Well, Brian Scott has really caught my eye, to tell you the truth, driving that number 16 truck. You know, he's been qualifying well. He's been racing well. He's gotten caught up in a couple of incidents, but they really haven't been his fault. So watch out for Brian, even though he's not going to be a Rookie of the Year contender this year. I think he's going to be one that you might see in victory lane before the end of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series season is over. And does Taylor Malsom have, like, the best teacher in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series garage or what?
Yeah, yeah, he's really set up well. It's cool to see. It's very cool to see. Was taking a look at some of the names that are in the truck series. There was one driver that I saw when I watched the race. I think it was James Buescher.
James Buescher.
Yeah, that kid looks like he's got some potential, too.
He definitely has some potential. 2 years worth of ARCA series racing, and James has seen victory lane. He's a really good shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for this kid. If everybody can learn how to pronounce his name, just because he's got an E in it. This guy is going to become a household name. I really believe that. He's also young. Why all these 18-year-olds are getting these rides, I don't know, but you know what?
Because they don't have gray around the temples, that's why.
Yeah, it's amazing to
me. Yeah, it is. You've stumbled onto something, man.
But you go down in a couple of more years, you know, Taylor Malsom, James Buescher, they're going to be 4 or 5 year veterans, and they're going to have all these youngsters coming up to them asking them how to get around a racetrack. So I'm really impressed with James Buescher. I've watched him in the ARCA series. As I said, you know, we've got to prepare for the ARCA series probably about 6 times a year they run with us. So I'm very familiar with those guys. And I'm excited about the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series.
There you go.
I'm having beverages. I almost said craft.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Hey, listen, let's get away from the Cup stuff, and you started at Portland Speedway, and that place was known for some pretty wacky things. What's the wackiest, wildest thing you ever saw when you were announcing at Portland Speedway?
Oh, wow. Had to be a USAC race where one of the cars went right through the billboards and out into the parking lot. That was pretty amazing. We used to not have guardrails or... we didn't have a fence over in turn 3 and 4, if you remember. There was just blackberry bushes.
Yeah.
And so, of course, each and every night, somebody would go off into those berry bushes, and they'd come back just dragging them behind their race car. That was an awful lot of fun as well. And then I think the last time Greg Biffle was ever on his lid was at Portland Speedway, and a driver named Kurt Thies did that. And Greg's number 16 car is upside down on the back stretch, and when officials got to him, and I had the officials in my ear because I was monitoring them, they said, they looked in this upside-down race car. They go, there's no driver in here. They had already gotten out of the car and was over in Kurt Thies' window, letting him know how much he appreciated getting put on his lid. So those are some of the great things. And, of course, all the drivers still in the series that ever raced at Portland, they still remember Portland. They remember the manhole in turn 4. They remember the bumps and the bruises that they got going around that racetrack because it was just so rough. AC Compton, a winner in 98 at Portland, told me last week, that it was the only place he ever wore a mouth guard. It beat him up that bad. I love Portland Speedway. It's so sad that we decided to take the World of Outlaws on and tear up that racetrack and go dirt track racing. And dirt track racing, it works, but not for those fans. Those fans didn't like dirt in their beer. They didn't like dirt on their pizza. They didn't like the dirt. So that's, I think that's a little disappointing that we lost Portland Speedway, because it was, even though it was old and worn out, Tom, and you know this, it was such a fun place to watch racing.
Oh, it was. And, I mean, you know, I remember as a kid going clear back to the days when the amphitheater was there, and they did movies at night and racing by day, and I did have the opportunity to run there a few times, and I remember one time we had a little mechanical issue, and I thought I was going in the blackberry bushes, and it was only fear, I think, that got me through turn three.
Wow. But,
you know, I've driven by there somewhat recently, and it's kind of sad to see. And, you know, when you look at Jansen Beach and okay, I'm getting old now, Salem Speedway and places like that are not around anymore, and we can't afford to lose any more of them.
Call in and tell us how old Tom Glitherow is. First caller wins a pizza. You just dated yourself there, Tom. That's amazing. Yeah, you know what? I fly into Portland each and every week, and for some reason, I'm always on the right side of the plane whenever we're landing from the west, and so all I got to do is peek over there, and you see the X is all that's left,
oh, wow,
really, of the speedway, and it's really sad. It's really kind of sad. The good thing about it is one of our favorite racers, Dan Obrist, his company got to tear down the grandstands because he hated that racetrack. he just loved it. He was talking that up. Oh, gosh, I get to tear down the grandstands. So you guys all know Dan, remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Paul, we got to wrap it up. We've got a couple more to get to. But, again, I really appreciate your time. We'll be checking in with you as often as we do every year, and continue to hit that track with a smile on your face.
It's so much fun to talk to you guys. I'll talk to you anytime. And, Tom, doggone it, it's been way too long. I always enjoyed seeing you. Every time I got up to a Northwest Tour event, you were there in the pits, and I can't wait to shake your hand again someday.
Okay, pal.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Great.
Well, Paul went.
That was good timing.
And that was Paul. His phone just shut right off. Paul Bartholomew is Paul Bartholomew. I mean, there's just no getting around it. The guy is just really good at what he does. We had a chance when we went to Phoenix a year and a half ago. We got to visit with Paul back in the MRN compound, and here he comes out with his plate of catered food and just smiling from ear to ear, just had a blast.
And it's cool to hear that. I mean, this was the goal, you know. And, I mean, Paul worked some events and for me and everything else, but it's cool that the dream came too.
It is. We're thankful to have him with us. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tracy DeYoung. Seth Bergman is here, and we're still going to visit with Larry Bertrand and Jay Livingstone as North Sound Racing at 50K. Love it. You guys hang in there. We'll be right back after these messages.
North Sound Racing is your source for local racing news. Your home for motorsports in the Pacific Northwest is North Sound 1380 KRKO Everett.